Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda. And before we get started, please don't forget to subscribe, share, and like. We're very grateful for your support. And we are here to bring you news for the clown world. We're not sponsored by the lizard people once again.
Once again, we're 100% fully funded. No lizard people, no Illuminati. So any support you can show us is always appreciated. And don't forget to check out our merch store. So let's go right into this week's clown world headlines. At peak clown world is the president.
The installed president-elect
Cabbage has declared war on half of the country.
Absolutely.
The better half of the country.
I'm sure most of you guys saw what that very dark, evil speech that Biden did last week. I will say that I saw it from another angle that Anthony posted on his Telegram. And I guess the building was actually lit up in like red and blue. Mm-hmm. But the camera that they put was the red to just make him look more evil and insane. And I think it's just that I wasn't that shocked because I'm like, this is what they've been doing. I mean, they've been demonizing Trump supporters for 5 years. January 6th was the perfect event to really nail down on these are the extremists of the country. These are the bad people. And I have to tell my followers, and I said it very briefly last week, this is a lesson for conservatives who have always believed that everyone is their enemy, right? And it's the Chinese, it's the Russians, it's the Taliban, it's this, it's that. And to an extent, that may be true for some cases, but there's also the question of, have they been telling us the truth about all of our enemies in history? Like, how do we know that the people that they told us were the really bad guys at some point in history weren't actually the good guys? Like, we are now. Right?
Well, history is written by winners.
Exactly. So I think this is a big lesson for conservatives to really think about all the lies that they've told us. You know, we go back to the Taliban. Does it mean that they're good guys? But it does mean something, right? I remember seeing this tweet, and I still have it, where one of the Taliban leaders on Twitter said, you know, for the last 20 years, the world media has demonized us and has spoken so many lies, and we've never had the chance to really correct the record, and now it's our time. And that really stuck with me, and I'm like, holy shit, like, what if this whole time, you know, again, does it mean there are the good guys in the movie or that we like their way of living, culture, system, religion, but it's just like, what if we were told lies about these men? And now we're actually living what they lived 20 years ago. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that what it can all be brought back down to is that people just want to be left alone, right? People want to be free to exist. And just like the left loves to say, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, then what I want to be left alone to exist. And we're at a point in time right now where political ideology is enough to be considered to label somebody a violent threat to democracy. Mm-hmm. And it's really dangerous territory that we're now walking into. We had actually spoken about this about two episodes ago, where we discussed how, you know, time and time again, we'll say like, well, you know, things are going to get worse and things are going to get worse. But we're at a point where things are really bad. So if things were to get even slightly worse than where they are right now, what are we actually talking about? Like, people are going to say that we're extreme or whatever, we're used to it, but the conspiracy theories have proven, at least at minimum for the last 4 years, that we've been consistently right time and time again. And one has to wonder, like, what does come next? Is it re-education camps? Is it a firing line?
I think we can talk about the Patriot Act that happened after 9/11, which the anniversary mm-hmm. of 9/11 is just coming now. And the Patriot Act was basically designed so that they can label someone a domestic extremist or a threat to the republic, and then they can come after you, right? Yeah. Why is there red flag laws? And I think that we may see instances where they are going to come after your guns. They're going to categorize you as an extremist, as a terrorist, as a threat to democracy, which is what they've been saying for the past 5 years that Trump and his supporters are. And they'll come after your guns, and God knows what they'll do to you. Something that people don't remember is that the fact that you were the silent majority, the fact that you hid being a Trump supporter, that you couldn't wear the red MAGA hat, that you said, I just don't want to trigger my neighbors, I don't want to trigger my coworkers, my friends, I care about these people, it has led us to this path. Obviously, that has changed. There is a lot of people who are out and about and proud and saying, fuck this, like, I'm not going to be hiding, like, I'm some sort of, like, pedophile or something like that. But I think it's only going to get harder. I think that we are going to see, who knows what we're going to see at a state level.
For starters, we're probably going to see a rise in radical violence from a left that's already shown us in 2020 through the summer of love, mm-hmm. that these are people that don't feel like they can coexist with us. These are people that feel like they need to destroy us. And it's not just the deplatforming. It's not just they don't want to share the internet with us. They want you in jail. They want you jobless. Yeah. They want your children taken away. They want your ability to vote.
And they've been very upfront about that.
Yeah, about their goals.
They've been very upfront about their goals. And I think that Biden knew, well, not Biden, whoever made him do that speech knew what they were doing, because this emboldened his base. You have so many people. You have people like Billy Corbin cheering on Biden. For those of you who don't know Billy Corbin is one of the Democrat operatives under the anonymous Antifa page on Twitter, Miami Against Fascism. He's been hiding as an anonymous user for the past year until we caught him and we exposed them. And Billy Corbin is a huge nut job. He's a radical, and he's someone that actually does incite violence against the right, because he lives in this perpetual delusion that fascists, Nazis, and right-wingers are the biggest threat to America, and especially to Miami. In fact, what he thinks is that all these Cuban-American Republicans are insurrectionists, are far-right extremists, and he wants everyone docs jobless and without the ability to vote and without the ability to have guns. There's a very dangerous individual in our community that we've been exposing. Very emboldened.
Yeah.
Very emboldened, because now they get to
they
Antifa.
Feel justified,
they feel justified. Right. Yeah. Of course. No, we can dox these people because they're fascist. And anything. We got to do anything to stop fascism.
We're holding them accountable.
We're holding them accountable.
That's what their whole ideology fall back on, right? So the attacks on somebody with a different political ideal than them automatically constitutes them feeling that they are justified in doxing you and trying to ruin your life. So when you have the installed President Cabbage going on live air and saying that conservatives are the biggest threat that against the democracy, it definitely gives a pep in the step to somebody like Billy, who's already out there creating narratives to vilify conservatives, as mm-hmm. he's been doing way past just the year that he's been helping operate that Antifa account. This mm-hmm. is something that Billy Corbin is known in this community for. Yeah. And the thing is that
he emboldens
Billy.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we were able to discover is that this is a very intricate network, right? So your politicians are going to have their PR firms, and then the PR firms weaponize their contacts with the press, with influencers, with people of affluence in any capacity, and they take that and then they weaponize it against the political opposition. So what that means is that if you're a conservative and you get too loud, this machine of million-dollar PR firms, of huge, well-known publications, will be turned against you in an effort to discredit you and neutralize you as a potential danger to their narrative, which is very much what it is that we have become. I think that the entire country is going to be watching the Florida election come November. We've said it before, Florida is by far the freest state, not just in the country, but probably in the entire world. And I think that there is a huge emphasis in challenging and silencing people like myself and Linda that have been exposing corruption at a local Florida level, and more so at a local Miami level. And what we're finding is that it seems to be an attack on anybody that can have any sort of influence. So if you're an activist, if you host a podcast, if you're an influencer, anybody mm-hmm. who has a loud voice mobilizing people to get out there and take their country back, they are going to launch this machine on you in hopes of being able to neutralize you as a source of information. Because it's what we were just discussing before this. The worst thing about these people, let's fight. I grew up in a ghetto.
Right.
Like, I'm from Little Havana. Like,
you want to talk your shit? Show your fucking face.
Let's fight. Let's have an actual debate. I would love to have an actual debate with one of these nerds, whether it's Billy or Jenny or whoever it is. We've talked. They don't want the opposition. They don't want to have a fair fight. They don't want to have a debate. They know that they cannot win if you and I exist. And because they know they cannot win as long as we exist, then their goal isn't to show us how their ideals or their philosophies are better.
Convince you or have a common ground with you and say, hey, you may have a perception of transgenders that's like this. The reality is that we can find common ground in helping them X, Y, Z. They don't want that. Okay. Somebody like Billy Corbin and Jenny Lee Molina, the local Antifa or wannabe Antifa, they've been trying to be cool for a very long time. They have no sauce. They have no game. Everyone fucking hates them, especially Corbin. I think Jenny is more like because she's so fake and she has put up this front of being some sort of like Miami face with her little 305 cafecito bullshit.
Well,
what happened?
They protect themselves with the Miami culture as
right,
a shield.
Right.
Which is the same thing Billy does.
Right, right.
Billy has a following because of the...
They think that he's exposing corruption. That's why him being behind the page is such a big deal, because he really wants to come off as like, oh, I'm the one that gets attacked. Everyone's anti-Semitic. Everyone just hates me because they're just anti-Semitic racists, like far-right extremists. No, everyone hates you because you're a fucking piece of shit and you suck. You're a loser. No one fucking likes you. You look like trash. You go cry at the fucking commission meeting with your fucking man titties bigger than mine. You're an embarrassment to this country. You're an embarrassment to the fucking city. And I swear to God, Billy Corbin, you're not going to stay anonymous. This is going to, I promise you, everything that you have done behind that page, okay, we're going to settle this in the legal way, because God knows you're going to go cry, oh, they're inciting violence against me. Someone's going to do this to me. Because that's all you fucking do. You go cry online. But it's not going to stay this way. Your name, your reputation, it's going to be tarnished and you're going to be ruined. I promise you that.
And not just Billy.
Not just Billy.
Not just Billy. This goes to every person that was behind that account. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's so much bigger than just that account, because that's what we are dealing with down here in Miami. And I'll tell you guys, like, there is such a benefit to Linda and I both being down here in Miami to be able to push forward the efforts as far as the exchange of information and combating the true misinformation of mainstream media. And it's not something that we take lightly. We understand the advantage that we have being down here and both being focused on exposing, if you will, the corruption that takes place down here. But it's precisely because of that that we've been able to join with our community and push progress forward. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about Billy. They think that their victories are getting somebody fired or getting somebody's page taken down, or, you know, putting the fear of God in somebody and convincing them not to show up to a school board meeting. But here's the thing. The reality is that what you're trying to stop is Republican and conservatives taking back their country. And you're not stopping that.
You
can't stop taking L's. It's why you have to cry about the school board seats being flipped and how it's all the misinformation's part. Because you can't fight fair. Because if you had to fight fair, if I was allowed to exist on the platforms that you've decided for yourself that I don't deserve to be a part of, you'd know that my information, because it's led by truth, is much more powerful than the narrative that you're trying to build. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just happening in Miami. Mm-hmm. This is happening at a national level. Linda and I just have the platforms in order to be able to expose this. But you guys need to take a look at the local digs are just so important, because you need to look at who's rubbing elbows with your politicians. Because a lot of the times it ain't the politicians doing the dirty work. They've got a Billy Bitch Tits Corbin doing the work for them. So
Sorry, we needed to get that out of our
chest. We need to get it out of the way, because I think that part of what's been the most frustrating about the Cabbage's speech, where he's now turned us into the greatest enemy against democracy, according to him, and not his son, who's literally an asset and a weakness into this national security of our country. I think that part of the biggest problem is how it affects people in their day-to-day life. And Creepy can go on TV and say whatever it is that he wants, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't have an effect on you. But you know what does? The Antifa person or the extreme left-wing liberal that now feels justified in doxing you and coming up to you because you're wearing a MAGA hat and maybe having a physical altercation with you because you're having because you're wearing a MAGA hat or because you're a Republican voter or whatever it may be. It's the power that now it's given these people that have already shown to us that they are very violent people. Mm-hmm. People that have already demonstrated to us that they are okay with violence,
right,
as long as it means them getting the outcome that they want.
Yeah, it's in their Antifa manual, yeah, that you can resort to violence because it's against a fascist and a Nazi. So, of course, it's okay. It's the reason why they drop all the charges for Trump's inauguration. All like 200 Antifa members were out there burning, hurting conservatives, trying to make it seem like Trump had a small inauguration for the media because they worked for the actual state. And all their charges were dropped. It's the reason why BLM was able to get away with the Summer of Love. So that is what is going on in terms of, Creepy trying to embolden his base. I'll tell you this, he did try to backtrack in the next day, and I think it's just because he's senile and doesn't know what the fuck he's saying half the time. So he's like, oh, I didn't say that all MAGA was, it's just, you know, the violent, the white supremacists, the insurrectionists, the this. And then today he went even further to say that he wasn't talking about Republicans. He was talking about MAGA Republicans in Congress. Obviously, we're looking at Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're looking at Lauren Boebert. We're looking at Mark Gates. Anybody who stands against the Unit Party, that's who he considers to be the biggest threat in our democracy. So then they can advocate for killing babies up to the point of birth. They can advocate for sterilizing and mutilating children so they can conform and fit their mental state. They can advocate for open borders, which harms both illegal immigrants and Americans. They can advocate for just about anything. I mean, we look at Gavin Newsom. I just saw a video of Gavin Newsom talking to Californians, like with a straight face, telling them that tomorrow after 4 o'clock their time, they should put up their thermostat to about 78 degrees and turn off any appliances because the power grid is like failing. Same person or same state that wants to ban all electric cars by 2035 or something like that. So their power grid doesn't even work. You can't charge your electric vehicles. You live in the first world and you have your governor, supposed to be the beacon of democracy, telling you to turn your thermostats to 78.
Are you serious? Apagones in America?
Like, are you
imagine
serious?
All of the people that left their third world countries to escape from the fact that they would have to worry about their lights being shut off for absolutely no reason. And now you're in California, undeniably probably one of the most expensive states to live at in the entire country, and you can't water your lawn when you want to. You can't even turn on the lights when you want to. It's complete oppression. Meanwhile, he's worried about what's going on in the Florida elections,
and he's spending money to flip Florida,
literally giving money to the opposition, to Charlie Crist's campaign to oppose Governor Ron DeSantis.
And speaking of Charlie Crist, really quickly, we saw a clip of Carla Hernandez Matz. As you guys know, we've been exposing Matz for a while now. And she had a few, obviously she's going around in just press conferences and talking to the media about her new position and being a new Latina darling for the Democratic Party. And she was with, I think it was Channel 10 reporters,
yes,
right?
Channel 10.
Which are very neutral. I think they're both
I've seen
Democrats.
I've seen hours of footage of these people talking to Carla in interviews over the last 6 years, and they are always very fair with her. In fact, whenever Carla and the United Teachers of Dade want to get a message out to the community, this is the show that they go on. This is their safe space, if you will.
Right. So Carla has this interview. It's about a 20-minute long interview, and they're asking him about, you know, everything that they've been seeing from the opposition. They say it's the first time it has been unprecedented that an aspiring lieutenant governor has gotten that much opposition. That's kind of like a politician that goes under the radar. Not a lot of people put an emphasis on the lieutenant governor. However, due to our exposure and other members of our community who have been exposing Carla Matz for over a year now, the opposition does have a lot of, to work with, you know, and
which is something that's unprecedented.
It's
right?
unprecedented.
Because it's not supposed to matter. Nobody's supposed to care about who the governor selects as their lieutenant governor.
But it matters. It matters in this election because
it matters very much.
Because Joe Biden has positioned himself as the president of labor unions, and Carla Hernandez Matz is a labor union darling. Not just that. But also, it's the fight in education. What are they fighting for? Your kids to be indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Why are they trying to dox us online? Because we were attending school board meetings and bringing attention to what's going on in the classrooms. So it's the fight is once again for your kids. In the interview, Carla Matz loses her shit. She has no media training. She thinks she's going to go fight in a Hialeah like cafeteria in a high school.
You're such a chonga. It was quite embarrassing.
You're
like, so ghetto, Carla.
I'm a little bit ghetto, but to be honest with you, if I was running for a position, especially at the state level, I'm going to behave in the best way possible in front of these.
In fact, it's why we don't run, because we don't want to have to behave
right
for people like
right
you.
And she's there like talking about I'm an educator, so I'm gonna educate you, and they were being very nice to her. They're being very fair, but she, you know what it is, they're not used to reporters pushing back or actually challenging any of the things that they hear in the media. So naturally she gets pissed off and flustered and just wants to be mean. And it's the same thing that she did with the parents. That same energy that she gave those two reporters in her interview on Saturday or Sunday was the same energy that she was giving parents here when they were voicing their opinion on at the school board meetings.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, shut up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to educate you. You're not an expert. You don't know what you're talking about.
She accused one of the journalists of being an operative for the Republicans. They're like, yep. Oh, are you doing the Republicans' dirty work? It's like, these people
have given
you a safe space for years. You to go in there. And it's what Linda just said. They're not used to getting any kind of opposition. Why? Because when they don't like what you're saying, they silence you. They can get you deleted off the internet. They can get you fired from your job. They're going to scare you into submission. So when they get even the slightest bit of pushback, there is no training on how to deal with that, because these communist infiltrated politicians and elected officials have gotten so used to big tech and mainstream media working for them and working their angle that they wouldn't even know where to start to have a live debate. I would pay to see Carla have a debate with
she's not going to
no, of course she's not, because she's in, first of all, her PR company knows better than to put her in a debate for her to get
right.
ghetto con una dama like yeah. Janet.
I know, and the dama. Fact that they keep saying that she's gonna be the first Latina, right? What is it that they say?
They keep on kind of announcing it like, finally a Latina from Miami is what this state needs.
It's like, did she
Janet is from Miami,
right? And she is, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. She's also trying to, Carla is trying to capture the Cuban's vote by saying that she grew up in Hialeah, mm-hmm. when we know that she was snubbing every single Cuban American parent that was going to the school board meeting. She was painting them as insurrectionists, extremists, outright conspiracy theories.
The truth is, they don't like Cubans.
No, they don't. Both her, Billy, all of them.
One of the things that Christina Pusha has done that I really do love is that time and time again she continues, because we've talked about the fact that Latinos do not operate like the black community. You can't just throw a blanket over us. We're very versatile.
Diverse.
We all come from very different backgrounds. So just because somebody is Latina does not mean that they know what communism is. And Carla very much loves to give the impression that she's very well aware of the dangers of communism. And like Christina Pusha continues to remind her time and time again, you don't get to have a say.
No.
You're not Cuban. You're not Venezuelan.
Right. And you're not from Nicaraguan.
You've never lived communism. You've never lived through socialism. You sure as shit haven't had to flee it. So you don't get to have a say. It's the same thing with Billy Corbin. You don't get to have a say over, you don't get to label Cuban experience as trauma just because it's inconvenient to your narrative.
Right.
And this is how they've gotten away with this for such a long time. So sick and tired of Billy and Jenny and all you other 305 Miami grifters that love
grifting Martha off, of Miami.
Martha of Miami, girl. Your croquetas, your cafecito.
Patria y vida.
You think that that somehow is sufficient to obtain the culture. And for a while, it has been.
I call them Patria y Vida grifters because they know the Miami base and they like to capitalize on the Cuban suffrage to get sales for their little cafecito t-shirts and stuff like that. But then we catch them online pretty much pro-socialism and communism because that's what they support. And then they, oh, we don't really want to get political, but you were selling Patria y Vida merch though.
Well, let's.
But you were selling Patria y Vida merch though.
Yeah, why don't we take the opportunity and let's bring up the Instagram post. So this post appeared in an Instagram account, basically making fun or light, if you will, of the fact that Cubans will scream communism when something smells and tastes like communism. And as you can tell right here at the bottom of this screenshot, Martha of Miami is liking this meme that is quite literally making fun of Cuban suffrage. So not an accusation, just a question to Martha. As somebody who has created a dynasty, if you will, off Miami culture, croquetas and Patria Vida t-shirts and so much respect for the culture, how do you justify liking a meme like this? Oh, by the way, let's put up the other picture where the local Miami Antifa page also retweeted the same meme. Yep. So my question to you Miami grifters is, if you are exposed like you are going to be, because we're kind of tired of this shit, how are you going to justify your political, how are you going to justify not bringing in politics to a culture that's all about politics? I want to know what's going to happen to Martha Sales when somebody asks her, Martha, who did you vote for in 2020? Martha, who did you donate money to in 2020?
Bernie Sanders.
That would be inconvenient now if that got out.
Very inconvenient.
Anyway, speaking of inconvenience, let's talk about...
Speaking of inconvenience...
Let's talk about...
Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin's tweet is just... I don't even know how to describe it, but I'm just going to read it to you guys. It says, if you don't want a civil war, vote Democrat in November. If you do want civil war, vote Republican. So pretty much she's threatening us and saying, hey, if you don't vote for my party, we're going to start a civil war. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm like scared to type out the word war on my Instagram because I feel like I'm going to get banned. Wow. I don't even like to put the word violence. Like even today, I'm so careful because... they ban you for anything.
Yeah.
For inciting violence. Anything can be inciting violence.
Yeah.
But Kathy Griffin gets to keep her platform on Twitter.
Who already made a threat to an active president.
President. With his head.
When she held up his bloody decapitated lookalike head of Donald Trump.
Do you
and was
see
allowed
how
to
they,
remain on Twitter.
Do you see how they want a one state government? Like they want a... They want communist China.
Yeah,
they want the communist party.
They don't want the other party.
They don't want the other party. They don't want the other party to exist. And it's funny because Joe Biden makes it out to be that it's, oh, the MAGA Republicans. You guys have an entire section of your Congress women and Congress people and congressmen and they thems, like AOC, Trishita Taliban, what was the other ones? Ilhan Omar. The Warnock guy.
Ilhan Omar is a literal terrorist.
She like wrote a letter.
She used to fight with the Taliban.
What it is that she wrote a letter so that the government would forgive the sentences of some. It wasn't the Taliban. It was another one. It was like Al Qaeda guys or some terrorists. But nobody talks about those people. Nobody talks about the real insurrectionists, the real socialists, the Marxists, the communists. You had Rashida, I call it Trishita Taliban because she's trash. You had Rashida Tlaib or whatever her name is. I think she crashed a Trump rally a few years back screaming. They had to like pull her out of there because she was causing a scene. Stuff that you never really see you know, our side do. I mean, you have your crazies here and there for the most part. If you ever go to a Trump rally, you know what? You know what? I want to bring this up. There's a guy that's going viral, and even the news posted it. It's a liberal, and he decided to go to Trump rallies to try to make friends. And the reason why he went viral is because, you know, he goes, I expected there to be a lot of anger and extremism, and just like he expected all this negativity to come from the rally. And then he goes to a rally and he sees that it's just like normal love. Americans loving, happy fest. Patriotism. Yeah. He's like, hey, you want to be friends? And people are like, yeah, let's be friends. And he's like, I'm like pretty shocked. Like, I didn't expect it to be this way. Some women invited him to Bible study. He goes to his first Bible study, and then he sees that this reality and that they have painted of Trump supporters, it's completely fabricated.
There was completely a video fabricated. They had gone viral in 2020, and it was outside of a Trump rally. And basically, the reporter goes into the Antifa liberal side, and she starts asking questions, and everybody's rude and telling her to go fuck off, blah, 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 blah. And finally, one guy, a liberal, stands up, and he starts talking to them. And she's like, I want to invite you over to the other side. Come with me to ask questions where the conservatives are at. And all the conservatives are like hugging him and like telling him, dude, it's okay. Like, you should come in, like, come check it out. And the guy has to like check himself, because he's like, I don't even know how to react to this. Like, I'm literally here protesting this. And I had no idea. The last thing I was expecting was to be treated with so respect much and respect kindness. And with so much respect and love. And honestly, if you've never been to a Trump rally,
it's the best.
It's the greatest.
It's
a love fest. Yeah, it is. And people it's are so fun. Singing, and they love their country. And it's such a portrayal of patriotism. Speaking of which, one of the things that we didn't talk about, creepy speech, was how now the angle, and Linda, your witchy sense, you called it almost 3 months ago, you saw a tweet by Alex Soros.
Yeah.
And in the tweet, Alex Soros was basically explaining how they had done a great disservice to Democrats by allowing Republicans to keep patriotism. And Alex Soros basically puts out a statement 3 months ago saying that they're going to take patriotism back. And they're going to take the flag that they were lighting on fire, spitting on, crawling on, all those things that they did to our flag. They're going to take it back. And there it goes. 3 months later, here's Creepy giving his speech, talking about patriotism and our republic. Well, he didn't mention the republic. They always like to mention democracy. About the flag and our country and loving it. They're hijacking patriotism.
Absolutely.
They're That's hijacking what they say patriotism.
That. Well, Billy Corbett and the Antifa and the radical left always likes to call everybody that went into the Capitol or January 6th traitors. That's what they think those people are, traitors, because they try to stop what they say is a peaceful transfer of power. Speaking of January 6th, crazy, crazy news that came out today is that a January 6th defendant, Corey Griffin, he's the founder of Cowboys for Trump, he was ordered by a New Mexico judge to be removed from his position as commissioner of Otero County. This man never went inside of the Capitol. Okay, this is the work, from my understanding, is liberal groups who were suing Corey and wanted him to basically be not only be removed from his position as commissioner, but also never be able to run for office ever again.
Right.
Because that's what they want for you. They want you docs. They want you homeless. They want you to not exist in their same reality.
Well, they don't want to have to fight because they know that they're going to lose. Right. So what happened was that Corey wasn't going to lose. There wasn't a Democrat that could get close to Corey, and they needed to get rid of him.
Right.
So they filed a lawsuit saying that he had participated in an insurrection. Again, never even went inside the building.
Never even went inside.
And now they got rid of which is what it is that they want to do. They know that they can't fight you in a fair way. They know they can't fight you with facts or the truth because it's not on their side. So the only artillery that they have is to try and silence you,
to cancel you. Right.
This is, it's unfortunate because I wish that I could just tell you guys, like, become uncancelable. But I also understand that everybody cannot do that.
Yeah.
Shit, I thought I was uncancelable.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's many ways of contributing to the fight. And one of them is creating an alternative ecosystem, especially economic ecosystem. So if you don't like to purchase from XY store because you know they support abortion, well, either you're going to support somebody else or you're going to create that industry or that company. That's something that a lot of people, I don't think about. Like, we saw Amanda Ensign. She just came out with her own makeup line. She started off with lipsticks. They sold out immediately because almost everybody purchased from her, you know? And we don't know if 10 years down the line, Amanda Ensign could become the competition to Sephora. We don't know that.
Right.
We don't know if she's so successful that she starts, what is that called, a retail store just like that, or Ulta. So, you know, this is the beginning of a new era, and there's always ways to contribute. It doesn't have to be just necessarily online. Another way that we wanted to mention is these radical Antifas have all these anonymous accounts online, and all they do is their little research projects of extremists, and that's what we need to do. You guys seem to be opening up these anonymous accounts as well, protecting your identity, ProtonMail, however, VPN, however you have to do it, and start basically doing the same thing that they're doing. Start reporting on extremism in your county. XYZ are the far leftists leading the LGBT fight, performing at drag shows, doing this and that, because it works. It works. It's true. Information warfare is a big deal. With that being said, I think that it is important to highlight also what happened in Chile. And I think the reason why is because I have a couple questions about that. So if you guys don't know, last year Chile had presidential elections, and Boric, who's their new president, a far left Antifa militant, won. He won. This is a country that had, or still, maybe I don't think so anymore, but had amazing economic prosperity for a very long time, pretty modern. And they choose a far left militant who was pretty much out there burning down Chile with Antifa during the 2019 protests. So they voted on a new constitution this past weekend. The constitution was a communist constitution, included the right to abortion up to, I think, the point of birth, included gender equality BS, included giving the indigenous tribes more rights or more territory. Right. Like this entire reform of the constitution to a social justice communist-like constitution, 62% rejected that constitution. And it bears the question, how is it that a country that voted for a far left president like Boric rejected a far left constitution? Is it that they are regretting their vote and they see what could happen to their country? Is it that they cheated the elections?
That's like a congressional vote though, right? Like the decision on changing the constitution, is that like a vote that's open to all of the people?
I'm pretty sure it was. It was 62% of voters. So it's what it said. I don't think it said it wasn't based on Congress. But pretty much what's coming out of the American media is that because of disinformation, per usual, and misinformation, the Chilean, I'm guessing they're also white supremacists, they're Nazis, alt-right, I'm sure they're conspiracy theories, and I'm sure also they're a threat to democracy in Chile and across the world, rejected this far-left constitution. Washington Post, CNN, everyone's not happy about it. There's still a chance to change it, this and this and that. You did have, you had President Petro from Colombia, another far-left militant. His tweet, he had two words to say, and he said, "Revivió Pinochet," which means Pinochet is alive. he's revived. He came back to life. The reason why they're saying this is because the constitution that they were trying to change was actually the constitution that was adopted during Pinochet's term. So now Pinochet is alive. Obviously, fascism, because they can't overturn the constitution. The guy is literally a ghost and he's making these things happen. And that's what's going on over in Chile.
And speaking of things that don't make a whole lot of sense, let's talk about what happened in Alaska with their elections. So
basically, a lot of people are confused, first of all.
It's extremely confusing because I didn't even realize that this was a way. So one of the things that we have to realize is that in our country, there is no one-size-fits-all to voting. Every state, every county has a different method that they adopt. There's federal rules that exist and different federal ways that are accepted for them to vote. And then basically each area, if you will, then decides what it is that they want to adopt that best fits for them. Mm. Now, what happened in Alaska
was called ranked choice voting.
So check out how this works. Basically, you get a list of all of the candidates that are running, and then you get to name them, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're going to tally up everybody who voted number one. So let's say for a second, it's me and Linda. And you can make up your mind which one of us you love more. So you put, some people will put me as number one and Linda as number two. Some people are going to put Linda as number one and me as number two. Now, let's say that there is no clear majority, if you will, between that those people that are labeled in the first rank. If there is no clear majority that exists in that first rank, then what they do is that they kick out those candidates that were in the first ruling, and then they're going to drop down to what everybody voted as the number two. And then if there's a majority there, then whoever got the majority as a number two wins. That's crazy. Democrats are loving this because why? We already saw it happen here. What they do is that they will run. This is very similar to what Democrats saw happen with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton when they wanted the cabbage to win. They kept in all of these other candidates in order to break away the vote so that there wouldn't be a majority vote for one candidate. And unfortunately, the Uniparty very much does this to Republicans, too. So as long as you've got two Republicans on the ticket, then what that happens is that if you're splitting the Republican vote, then of course the Republican isn't going to win because the vote is now split. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is that they're now weaponizing this ranked choice voting. And I'll tell you guys, even with that little bit of an explanation, it isn't something that I completely understand. But I will tell you this. It's in 55 cities and counties right now. And I opened up the segment letting you guys know that in this country, every county decides what's the best fit for them. And if you don't want your county to adopt ranked choice voting, then you need to be involved with the decisions that are made in your county for this. The Democrats are loving this.
Of course.
Antifa is loving this. The extreme liberals that we follow and that we keep track on are loving ranked choice voting. And they want this to be the future of voting in our country.
Yeah, that's what I saw a tweet. I forgot who. It didn't come from the Antifa page. It was somebody else that said this is the future of voting in America. We can even have multi-parties, whatever. I guess it's kind of like how they do it in Mexico and Colombia as well. But it is very scary. And again, I saw one of my followers the other day talking about Ron DeSantis. Oh, look, Ron DeSantis is cleaning up with the voting. And this is what Trump should have done. First of all, you're an idiot for comparing a governor to a president. Second of all, this once again goes to show you that there are a lot of things that are out of the control from the president. Okay, they don't have this type of control. It comes down to the state level
and the county
legislature
level.
And then the county. So if you're not paying attention, you can't cry later. Because I promise you, majority of people have no idea what happened to Sarah Palin. They just don't. I know because I saw. I had no idea.
You hear people say stupid things like Ron DeSantis won't get rid of the machines. Yeah, it ain't Ron DeSantis. Like, go check who's in charge of electing those machines in your local county. Yeah. Like, that's what the problem is.
Right.
Which is always the problem. You guys are sick of hearing it. Right. Go local.
Before we close out this segment, I saw Scott Pressler. If you don't know who Scott Pressler is, I'm sure most of you do. He is a activist. He has been teaching people to register to vote. And
holds the record, I think. Doesn't he hold the record for getting the most people registered to vote?
It's possible, but the point is that this is a man who is out in the streets every single day, possibly every single week in different states and cities and counties across America, teaching people and registering people to vote. With that being said, he had a threat this week on Twitter where he said that there will not be a red wave. And I agree with him. He says there won't be a red wave, maybe just in Arizona, Florida, and I forgot the other state. Other than that, there's not enough momentum. There's not enough people on the ground. People are excited online. Online is not the real world. Democrats are poll watchers. Democrats volunteer to knock on doors, volunteer to do phone banking, and this is how you win elections. And, you know, so many people are arguing with him. Well, the same excuse that they always go, well, we're tired and we work and we're trying to put food on our table because there's a recession. And, you know, something that he said that was so powerful, he said, that's funny because people were camping out to see Trump in Pennsylvania like 72 hours before. And I'm sure those people have jobs, and I'm sure those people have kids, and I'm sure those people have to take care of business, and they still made it a point to camp out 2 days or a whole day to see Trump. So if you have the time to see Trump and wait outside, you have the time to volunteer 3 hours out of your day to go knock on doors for your favorite candidate. You have the time. And this mostly happens on weekends.
Right.
So there's no excuse. But we do want to ask you to once again hit that subscribe button, share and like our content. Also, please check out our
merch store.
I'm sorry. Wakeupwithlinda.com. And you subscribe to our email list. You'll be able to get 15% off your first purchase. And with that being said, we will see you next week. Thank you.